Please turn, if you will, to the book of Galatians in the New Testament. Welcome. We're going to study God's Word. This morning we're going through the book of Galatians verse by verse, one verse at a time, studying it carefully, trying to really get the message of Galatians, which is a message of freedom. We have titled the series, A Heart Set Free. And in so many ways, Galatians teaches us how to really be free as Christ wants us to be. So, in 1903, December 17th, something happened, and it only happened for 59 seconds. But I would argue it fundamentally changed our lives and everyone we know's lives. Do you know what it is? Two brothers who had their entire lives lived the way everyone before them had lived, horizontally, they were able to spend about a minute vertically. The Wright brothers in North Carolina flew the first airplane for 59 seconds, 852 feet in altitude, and did it not change so many things? And in a similar way, this morning, we're going to look at the Apostle Paul, who is going to describe to us an encounter that he had with God that changed his life forever. His whole life was horizontal, and God turned him vertical, and God interrupted his life with a gospel, the same gospel, the only gospel, that is a vertical gospel. So we're going to study that this morning. And we looked last week at freedom from people-pleasing in verse 10. And people-pleasing is very horizontal, and the gospel is vertical. And so naturally, we're leading here into verses 11 through 17, title of the sermon, The Vertical Gospel. Let me read the text and pray, and we will jump in this morning with this sermon. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he, who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Let's pray. God, we thank you this morning for the book of Galatians, for your word, Lord. And we ask that you would teach us today, that you would inspire us today, that you would, God, get our attention. We live so horizontally. Some of that is right and it's how it is, but God, we are so focused on the things of man. We're so self-reliant. We just see what we can do and what others can do for us, and we so often fail to see that what we most need is what only you can do. So help us, Lord, to get vertical this morning, to see that that is the way you deal with us. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Vertical gospel. I just read this passage to you, verses 11 through 17, and I think you probably observed this already, but let me just say it. To really understand what's happening here, we've got to explain it. Why is Paul so intense about explaining where he got his gospel, that he didn't get it from man. He also says that he didn't go immediately to the apostles in Jerusalem, that he went to Arabia. What is he doing? Why is he so focused on this? And what in the world on earth does that have to do with our lives today? Okay, so we got to kind of understand it. And let me just say, the way this sermon's going to work is like this. Right at first, it's going to be a little teaching. Going to be in the classroom for a second, okay? And we can, I think, survive that. And if we do, if you graduate, it's just like the first 5 minutes of the sermon, okay? If you graduate, meaning you don't fall asleep and you get it, then you're going to get so much out of the 3 points this morning because they build on it. And the 3 points this morning are incredibly practical for our lives. So look, here's what was happening in this book in the New Testament, in Galatia, which is a region where there are many Christian churches that Paul is writing this letter to. Here's what was happening. There were phonies. There were scammers. There were people who were called false teachers. Now, they didn't think that they were false teachers, but we know that they were. They were there. They were in Galatia. They were presenting a false Christianity to new Christians, okay? It's like when you're new on and selling things, and you're on Craigslist, and a Craigslist scammer emails you, okay? Some of you maybe can't relate to that, but look, that's what's happening here. And these false teachers are purely horizontal in the way that they view life and everything. Let me show you a picture. The horizontal idea of religion. Don't worry about if you can read all those words on this picture, but I want you to see sort of the dynamic that was going on. You have the false teachers who are from Jerusalem, and you can see sort of at the top of the staircase there is where Christianity started in Jerusalem, the church at Jerusalem. The false teachers say, well, we're from Jerusalem, we're just one step down from them. Here's the Galatians, they're sort of one step down from the false teachers. Now, this is all the false teaching, okay? This is not true. Don't try to find yourself on the staircase right now, please. There's going to be another slide. But the point is that the false teachers are saying, here, come up the staircase. Don't go down where Paul is. Come up. Now, how do you go up the staircase? Stricter adherence to external rituals and traditions and customs of man. That's what the staircase ascension was all about. Okay, so I don't want this to be too complicated, but here's like what they were saying, okay? Here's the false teachers. Just pretend you're listening to one of the false teachers right now. They're saying, Christianity started in Jerusalem. The Apostle Paul got his information there, and so did we. We're from Jerusalem. We practice all the customs and traditions of Jerusalem. We look like them. Paul's a nice guy, but he did not get as high of grades as us in the Jerusalem training course. His GPA was low, ours was high. His teaching shows it. That's also the reason he's not requiring you to practice the customs of Judaism. Furthermore, it's because he's a people pleaser. He wants you to like him. That's what they're saying. That's why Paul, we can see, that's why Paul's saying, no, I never even went to Jerusalem. I'm not trying to get it from man. I got it from God, but we'll get to that. The point is this, everything's horizontal. They're comparing themselves to Jerusalem. They're comparing themselves to Paul. It's all horizontal. It's all horizontal, no vertical. So Paul, in response to what they were so obviously saying, sets out to prove that he received the gospel directly from Jesus, not from Jerusalem. And he gives proof of this. The proof that he gives is in this passage. First of all, it's his story of conversion. And we're going to go into it in detail, but the point is that he was the most unlikely person ever to get saved. The only thing that explains it is a direct confrontation with Jesus. He also talks about how he never even went to Jerusalem to confer with them. He didn't get his gospel from them. Here's what Paul's saying. Next slide. Here's the vertical gospel, the only gospel. Paul's saying, I did not get my gospel in Jerusalem. I got it directly, vertically from the Lord. I did not even go to Jerusalem for 3 years. There's only one gospel, whether you are in Jerusalem, Galatia, Rome, Raleigh, Wake Forest, anywhere. The true gospel is the gospel of free grace alone through faith in Christ alone. Horizontal customs, rituals, and external traditions that would move you up some horizontal staircase mean nothing. Peter and James in Jerusalem, they met me later. They saw this gospel, and my ministry was the same as theirs, because we both got our gospel vertically from Jesus. So you can see here in this picture how the Paul's ministry, the Christians that were true Christians in Galatia and the church at Jerusalem, the only gospel that really made them Christians, that really was worth believing in, is from Christ. And they all have the same gospel without even talking to each other. Why? Because they got it from the same source, from Christ. The Judaizers, the false teachers, they're over here in the category of false teaching, not Christians. They taught Jesus plus good works, Jesus plus do your best and God will do the rest, Jesus plus be a good moral person and God will save you. That's what they taught in teaching that diminishes what Jesus did for people. So Paul says, look, it's a vertical gospel. So that's the teaching part. Hopefully you just graduated from that and it made some sense to you. That's the situation. That's what's going on in Galatia. So what do we do with this? You know, the Bible says of itself that all Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching and for training in righteousness. So let's now take this, Paul's argument about his life and his ministry being a vertical gospel, and let's turn it from it being just classroom to it being application. Let's turn it to ourselves and apply it. So here's how we'll do that. The big idea this morning is that the true gospel is a vertical gospel. And we're going to see three validations of the vertical gospel in my life. Three validations. Paul's doing that. He's giving proof that he really did get his gospel from God. And so we need to be able to experience some proof in our lives that we've really gotten the gospel from God. So three validations of the vertical gospel in my life. Number one, I have a story that cannot be explained by horizontal factors alone. Three validations of the vertical gospel in my life. If it's in your life, you have a story that cannot be explained by horizontal factors alone. Now, I'm not saying that horizontal factors are not important, do not play an important role. But they can't explain it all because you've encountered the living God and it's a vertical gospel. And there's something about your life that just can't be explained just by one plus one plus one plus one. But there's this vertical gospel in your life. That's what's happened here with Paul. So that's what he's saying. Look at verses 11 through 12. He says, "For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel." He says, "For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. But I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." Now, I've said the gospel 100 times probably already in this sermon. Let me just make clear. The gospel is good news. It's not good advice. It's good news that God has acted in real time, in real history, to really work out our salvation through Christ. Christianity is not just a philosophy of life. Okay? That's so important. It's real. It's in history. You know, a quarter of the book of Galatians is Paul's autobiography. Why do we see that? Because it's significant. Because Christianity is a worldview that is in real history. And it has real implications on our lives. So here's what happened to Paul. The gospel is the good news that Christ came, lived a life we haven't lived, a sinless life, died the death we deserve to die on the cross, rose from the grave. We must respond to that by faith and believe in Jesus and see our lives get changed. That's the good news gospel. Paul didn't always believe that, though. He had this vertical confrontation with God. In Acts 9, 1 through 6, I just want to show it to you. Here it is in the New Testament. His name formerly was Saul. It says, "But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light," make a note of these two words, "from heaven shone around him," vertical. "And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do.'" That's the story. That's the revelation that Paul had. I didn't just want to refer to it this morning. I wanted to show you. But back to Galatians 1. In verses 13 through 14, Paul is going to detail that a little bit. He says, he gives us 4 points about his former life. He says in verse 13 that he persecuted the church of God violently. Well, we just saw that in Acts 9. That's what he did. That's what he was about. He was not a Christian. He tried, this is the second thing, he tried to destroy it. That was his motto and mission, to destroy the church. He was advancing in Judaism beyond many who were the same age as him. He had more seminary degrees than you can imagine, and he was 12, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was advancing, it says. He says that of himself. "For you have heard of my former life," verse 13, "in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it, and I was advancing beyond many of my own age among my people." And here's the fourth thing. "So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers." He says, hey, I was really zealous about these traditions. It's no small thing for me to set them aside. It's just that the vertical gospel calls for it. That's what he's saying. Now here's where we land the plane on this point. The key word here is the word "for." The word "for." Look at verse 13. He says, "For you have heard of my former life." He is proving that he had this authentic vertical encounter with Christ by giving insight into his former life. That's what he's doing. He's giving proof that he didn't get the gospel in Jerusalem, but he got it through a direct confrontation with Jesus. His personal story is his proof. Here's the point. There was nothing, humanly speaking, in his former life that could come close to explaining a conversion to Christianity. Paul was not hanging out in Jerusalem trying to be like Peter. He was trying to kill Peter. Any thoughtful person who would look at Paul and recognize, or would recognize, that only God could save him. And that is precisely what did happen. And Paul is saying, my former life and the mission I was on is proof that I did in fact have this vertical encounter with a vertical gospel. He's saying, I wasn't a wannabe. I was a total hater. And the fact that I now am a Christian is my evidence that God did something in my life. And that's the point. That we have a story that cannot be explained by horizontal factors alone. You may not have Paul's story. But let me tell you, even for people who grew up maybe in church or around Christians or around even Jesus and who are religious, they still need the vertical gospel. Let me show you. Peter was walking with the earthly Christ. Matthew 16, verse 16 through 17, Jesus says, "Who do people say that I am?" And then he says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Let me break that down. You didn't get this horizontally, but it's vertical. It's vertical. It's the vertical gospel. So even religious Peter, hanging out with Jesus, God has to save you. You have to have a story. Three validations of the vertical gospel in my life. The first one, I have to have a story that cannot be explained by horizontal factors alone. This is so important for how we become Christians and how we live as Christians. So think about it. And let's hunger for this. God, that we would be people and that we would be a church where everything that we do and everything that we accomplish in our lives and our narrative and our story cannot just be explained by horizontal factors. Like, oh, you know, you grew up in a Christian family, or oh, you got a bigger building, or oh, you did this, you did that. No. It plays a part, sure, but let's be individuals and let's be a church where there has to be a vertical gospel and the power of God for people to understand what's happening in our lives personally and in our church. That's what we should hunger for, because that's what validates that God is in our life. So, three validations of the vertical gospel in my life. Number one, a story that can't be explained by horizontal factors alone. That was Paul's story. It really is every Christian's story. And number two, and this is just building off of his conversion that he's explaining to us, but there is a sense that your life has been commandeered by Jesus and his grace. You have, I'm not saying the Bible says, but it does. I'm saying you have a sense. You feel this way. You have a sense that your life has been commandeered by Jesus and his grace, and you believe that's the best thing that ever happened to you, okay? That is a validation of the vertical gospel, the true gospel in your life. The word commandeer literally in Webster's dictionary means to officially take something by force, like a vehicle or a building for military purposes. So this idea that I just feel like my life has been taken by Jesus. Commandeered. It's like, you know, when you're watching a movie and there's the chase scene, right? And the good guy, like, has to kind of come up to some guy. He's probably like an accountant riding in his car listening to Michael Bolton. And he, like, knocks on the window and he's like, get out of the car. I need your vehicle. I'm chasing a bad guy. That's called commandeering the vehicle. There's this sense in our lives when we really have the gospel in our lives that we've been commandeered by Jesus, and that his grace has become the matrix through which we live our lives. That's a validation of the gospel. That's what Paul is describing here. Look at verse 15. He says, "But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles." There's really four things here. I mean, he says, first of all, that he was set apart before his birth. Before his birth. So he says, this whole story, this whole life of Paul, it didn't begin in Acts 9 on the Damascus Road. It began before his birth. And so Paul is able to say, Jesus hasn't just commandeered my life from this point forward, but now, as I step back and look at it, he's commandeered my life from eternity past to eternity future. He's sovereign over all of it. That's what he sees. He's like, before my birth, I was set apart. That's what he's saying. You say, well, that's for Paul. He's an apostle. But look what Paul says to the Ephesians in chapter 1. I want to show you this verse. He's talking to normal Christians in Ephesus. Now, Paul was a normal Christian, but he was an apostle. But here he's talking to people like you and me. We're not apostles. He says this. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us. Here's the point. There is this sense in the life of a Christian who has encountered the living God and the vertical gospel that they've been commandeered by Jesus, that they've been hijacked, that they've been taken over by Christ, and it's the best thing that ever happened to them. That's just the way it is. He says, I was set apart before birth. He says, I was called by grace. The word called, it's the same word when Jesus called Lazarus out of the grave, this man that was Jesus' friend that was dead, and Jesus says, Lazarus, get up. That's what becoming a Christian is. It's being called by God. Being called, you're dead. God calls you to life. Called by grace. Because that is how God saves us, through his grace. And then third, you see, he says that he revealed his son to me. So there is this being set apart before he was born. There is this being called by grace. Then there is this revelation of his son to me, this personal revelation of Jesus. It's not just a bunch of information. It's not just a bunch of theology books. It's personal for Paul. The gospel is the most objective, you don't mess with it thing in the world to Paul. Remember, earlier in chapter 1, he said, if an angel comes, or if I myself come and preach a gospel contrary to the one that you heard, let him go to hell. That's what Paul said. So the gospel is unchangeable. It's so objective, but it's also very personal. It's also very personal. And you see that in Paul. It's God revealed his son to me. It's so personal. And it's both. It's both of these at the same time. And then you see that he was called to be an apostle. He was called, what does it say in verse 16? Was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles. All right, the point is this. Three validations of the vertical gospel in my life. We're looking at number two, a sense that your life has been commandeered by Jesus and his grace. I want to show you something. As we are looking at this passage so far, I have seen a shift. Paul has gone from being Mr. Action to being the one who is acted upon. Look. Verse 11, he says, I. Verse 12, he says, I did this. Verse 12 again, he says, I did this. Just count the I's. Verse 12 again, he says, I did this. Verse 13, he says, I did this. Verse 14, he said, I did this. Verse 14, he said, I did this. He did all these times, he said, I. And then in verse 15, what shifts? But he who set me apart. Paul goes from being Mr. Action, Mr. Horizontal, to being the one acted upon. Mr., I got the vertical gospel. Do you see the difference? So key. It's so key. A sense that your life has been commandeered by Jesus and his grace. I'm not talking so much here this morning about the 5 points of Calvinism, whatever that flower is that they use for an acronym. I'm not talking about that, okay? That's not the goal here. Or anything else. We're just looking at this text. We're just seeing what's here. And I think what we see here is the Apostle Paul understands his conversion story to be one where, yes, he chose, but he was chosen. Yes, we must choose, and yes, we did choose, but fundamentally, once we're standing and looking back at our story as Christians, we have this sense we were chosen. We have this sense, I don't know how, but God reached in deep into my heart and flicked on a light switch that only the hand of God can reach and gave me the desire to pursue him. That's everyone's story who's really a believer. A.W. Tozer, in the first chapter of his famous book, Pursuit of God, he says, before man► can seek God, God must first have sought the man. We pursue God because and only because he has first put an urge within us that spurs us to the pursuit. When you have the real gospel, the real thing, not this sort of be a good guy, be a good lady moralism that is the number one religion in Raleigh and in Cary and in Morrisville and in Durham, not that, okay? When you have the real vertical gospel, it's not something you dabble in. It's not something you add on to your life. It's not something you take up. It takes you up. You have this sense of, I've been commandeered for my own good by the gospel. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to dabble or to seek Christ, to be a seeker, to be asking questions. I'm not saying that's wrong. But I'm just saying for the person who says, I am a Christian, not for the person who says, I'm inquiring about Christianity, but for the person who says, I am a Christian, that person should fundamentally understand their story to be one where God got me, and praise him for it. My life has been commandeered by Jesus and his grace. Let me show you Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul, in the same book, he says something so similar to what we're talking about. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live in the flesh. Or the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Three validations of the vertical gospel in your life, in my life. Number one, a story that can't be explained by horizontal factors alone. Number two, a sense that your life has been commandeered by Jesus and by his grace. And so, do you have that sense? Do you need to take some time this week, today, and regain that sense? God, you chose me. Why me? God, thank you. Do you have that sense? That is a validation of the vertical gospel in our lives. Number three, there is a desire to share God's word more than question it. A desire to share God's word more than question it. Look, I show you this from this passage. I'm not discouraging the practice of learning and growing through asking your tough questions. That is absolutely awesome. But in a person who genuinely has the vertical gospel in their life, this is how it was for Paul, and this, I believe, is how it should be for us too. We have this desire to share God's word more than we do to question it. So look at verse 16. He says there at the end of verse 16, he says, when all of this happened, he says, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Remember, Paul is giving proof that he really did not get the gospel from Jerusalem, but he got it from Jesus directly, a vertical gospel. He's giving proof of that. He gave the proof of his former life and his conversion, and now here's the other proof. He's saying, you know what some proof is? Here's some proof. Like, for real, here's some proof, okay? You ready? Here's some proof from Paul. He's like, I was so convinced that it was the real thing. My encounter with Christ, the vertical gospel, I was so sure it was it. I went straight to Arabia and started doing ministry. 3 years later, I went to Jerusalem. Had it been anything other than an absolute vertical encounter with the living God, maybe he would have been a little more unsure. Maybe he would have thought, I don't know. This is kind of turning my life in a different direction here, you know? Maybe I'll go to Jerusalem and just see if they are hearing the same thing. But did he do that? No, he didn't. He didn't go to Jerusalem for 3 years. These false teachers are saying, Paul was in Jerusalem. He had a lower GPA than us. We graduated summa cum laude, Paul. He's not right. But Paul's like, I didn't even go to Jerusalem. I didn't even go there. I just wanted to share the word. I got it straight from Jesus, and I was going to go. My focus was not on going to Jerusalem to sort of kick it around and question it and analyze it and compare it and all that. I got it. And I'm going to Arabia, and I'm going back to Damascus, and I'm going to preach it. My focus is on sharing it and obeying it, not sitting around and talking about it. That's what we see. And Paul's saying, and that's your evidence that I really got it. It's interesting. To be clear and fair, I do want to say, Paul would later visit Jerusalem. And we're going to look at that next week. But he did not at first. And that is the point. He got his gospel from Jesus. He immediately went to Arabia, back to Damascus. Where's Arabia? Well, it's not the same Arabia as today geographically, but he went away. He went away. He did ministry. He retreated. He got vertical more. That's what Paul did. And his faith didn't change. The atmosphere of his faith changed. But his faith didn't change because he had the real vertical gospel. God really did a work in his life. And sometimes I think we overemphasize the atmosphere of Christianity. And some of us, that is our faith. It's so linked and tied to the atmosphere of Christianity, our home, our church. And then when we're removed from that atmosphere, when we go to Arabia, we don't come back as an apostle. But Paul did, because he had the vertical gospel. He had the real gospel. God really changed his life. So we absolutely should study the word. We absolutely should ask questions. God wants us to do that. Paul did that. But he had this desire to share the word more than to question it. And that's a validation of the vertical gospel in our lives. I just want to show you one other thing. When Paul, in verse 16, was describing his story of how he became a Christian, look at what he says. He says that God was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that. Three words there, in order that. He says, I might preach him among the Gentiles. In order that. There's this sense that Paul is saying, God changed my life, set me apart, did all this in my life. Why? He says, in order that. He gives the whole purpose of it, that he might share with others. That's it. I'll read to you this quote. On the Great Commission, it's in a book on the book of Matthew, commentary, pastor wrote this quote. Here we go. John MacArthur, and I quote, if God's primary purpose for the saved were fellowship, he would take believers immediately to heaven, where spiritual fellowship is perfect, unhindered by sin, disharmony, or loneliness. If his primary purpose were learning his word, he would also take believers immediately to heaven, where his word is perfectly known and understood. And if God's primary purpose for the saved were to give him praise, he would again take believers immediately to heaven, where praise is perfect and unending. There is only one reason the Lord allows his church to remain on earth, to seek and save the lost, just as Christ's only reason for coming to earth was to seek and save the lost. It's one of the validations of the vertical gospel in our life, that we have this strong desire to share the word, to obey the word, more than to talk about it, discuss it, analyze it, and question it. Not that those things are wrong. So here's kind of as we conclude. We've looked at three validations of the vertical gospel in our lives. I hope you've gotten them this morning and thought about them. that your story should be not able only to be explained by horizontal stuff. You got to have a vertical encounter with the living God where he changes your life. That's a true Christian. Number two, that you, as you grow as a Christian, will have a very real sense that your life has been, in a good way, commandeered by Jesus and by his grace. And last, that you desire to share the gospel. That you desire to share God's word, and you see it as a key purpose for your life and for your relationships and for everything that you do. Just like the Wright brothers, who got vertical for just 59 seconds, and it changed the world and certainly their life. God wants us to get vertical. He wants to change our lives, whether that be initially as you become a genuine Christian, or whether that be every day as we grow in the faith and grow in the gospel that is a vertical gospel. Everything is so horizontal. Everything is so horizontal. The way we define success in ministry, in our careers, the way we define being a good husband or wife, the way we define parenting, the way we seek to accomplish all of those things, it's all horizontal. We're so stuck horizontally. The way we define being a good person, it's horizontal. I'm better than him. I'm worse than her. It's all horizontal. And God wants us to look up. He wants us to see the gospel, to see the cross, to see Jesus, to see heaven, and to be in heaven. And so, as the band comes forward, let me just close us in prayer, and we'll keep worshiping. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning, and we just eagerly look forward to continuing this passage next week. And God, we confess, I am the first in line in needing this challenge to be vertical, to be not self-reliant, but dependent upon grace for my salvation, for everything that I'm doing. And so would you help us, Lord? Would you, by your grace, would you do a work in our lives, Lord? We don't want to go through the motions. We don't want to come to church and just do church horizontally. We want to meet with you. We want to encounter the living God. And you want that. So clear away the distractions, Lord. If it's sin, Lord, help us to confess our sin. In Christ's name we pray.